there, Admissionado listeners, and welcome to a brand new installment of the League of Extraordinary Applicants, the podcast where we chat about what it takes to create a winning application in today's super competitive landscape. I'm Cleo Handler.
And I'm Stephen Black. We're your official tour guides for this insider's journey. Each week, we'll tackle a specific topic to give some insight into each of our Ivy League experiences. Cleo, why don't you start us off by telling everyone where you went to college?
Okay, so I went to Yale University, graduated in 2012 with a double major in psychology and theater studies. And Stephen, why don't you tell us a little bit about your far inferior experience?
My inferior experience happened at the one and only Harvard. I don't know if you checked the U.S. News and World Reports, but I believe it's ranked number one in the world. So anyway, I graduated Harvard in 2007. I had a degree in visual and environmental studies. And I just had a great 4 years there.
Great. So now we're going to move into our main topic here, which is the timeline of the college admissions process.
Yeah, it seems like a pretty obvious topic, but you'd actually be surprised how many people get it wrong. And that's why we're here, so you guys get it right.
So we're going to start with our first subtopic here, which is the process of visiting colleges. This is a really important step when you're trying to figure out where you want to go. It helps you really get a feel of the place to go for a visit, maybe stay overnight, check out the campus and the dining halls and everything like that. One thing I will warn you about is that you can sometimes be influenced by external factors without even realizing it. Like, you know, if it's raining the day you take your tour, or whether your tour guide is really cute. Things like this can end up affecting your decision about where you want to go to college. So you should be wary of those.
Yeah, definitely. I've definitely had those experiences when I was visiting colleges. I can remember visiting Brown, and Brown being known as a very liberal school, and the tour guide asked if he could take his shoes off and walk around the campus barefoot. And he was also wearing a tie-dye shirt and cut-off jeans, which seemed a little bit cliche. One thing I want to ask you, Cleo, is in terms of like timeline, when did you start visiting colleges?
I think I started towards the end of my junior year of high school. What about you?
Yeah, that's typically the time when most people do it. I'd say, yeah, I started the summer before junior year, and then I continued it throughout the entire junior year. I mean, this gives you time to visit many different things. I mean, I know a lot of people who try to compress the entire thing, like visiting, I'm going to visit 15 colleges in, you know, 1 week, which is just a terrible idea. I think the summer before my junior year, I visited three or four colleges, went with my parents and took a look. And, you know, my other point here would also be it's never too early, and it's also never too late to start visiting colleges. You know, if you feel like visiting during your freshman, sophomore year of high school, go ahead, do it. That's fine. And in terms of too late, like as long as you get your application in on time, like, you know, say the deadline November 1st, but you want to go visit, Dartmouth on November 15th. Which, I mean, I don't know why you would. It's freezing there. But even after that deadline's passed, go ahead, go visit. I mean, any time is really a good time to visit a college. Let's move on to topic number two in the timeline. We're going to talk about selecting your schools. And so we want to know, when should this be done by? When should I have my school selected, and how many schools, and what's a safe number? So Cleo, I'd ask you, you know, when do you think you had your list of schools selected by?
I would say probably late September. I had a full list. I think over the course of the summer before my senior year, I figured out most of the schools that I wanted to apply to, and I had some books lying around the house that I would go through and see if I was missing any great ones. But basically, at the beginning of my senior year, I talked to an advisor who helped me solidify a list.
Yeah, that's a pretty good time. I was a little bit earlier. I had it done probably by the end of junior year, at my high school. I went to public high school in New Jersey, and the guidance counselors were just awful. And so, they were telling me things like, "Oh, you'll never get into a school like Harvard," or, "Why would you even apply there? Why would you even apply to Princeton?" So I really had to take it sort of on my own, and I had it done, I think, by the end of the junior year. So this way, over the course of the summer, I could really focus on what each school had to offer and make sure, I did my research into each one. So Cleo, how many schools did you end up applying to, and what do you think is a safe number?
Well, I might not be the ideal person to ask about this, actually, because I was a very neurotic high school student and I ended up applying to 17 schools, I believe.
Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah, it was terrible. It was a lot of work. But I was very scared and I had this feeling that I couldn't shake, that I wouldn't be able to get in anywhere, and I might as well just apply to a few more. Which ended up being totally insane, and I had many, many schools to choose from in the end, which was great. But it does make the process a bit more stressful if you go overboard like that. I would say maybe somewhere around 9 is a pretty safe number, I would guess.
Yeah,
What
so
about you?
well, the question that I had for you is, so you ended up going to Yale, and when did you apply? Did you apply regular decision or early?
I actually applied early and was deferred, and I thought that that was the kiss of death for my application and a terrible sign. But I really think that, I mean, I ended up getting in everywhere in the regular admissions process a few months later, so it was just a really scary way to start for me. But I
Sure.
think that sometimes the early applications, if you're a very strong candidate, but there's nothing like, maybe you don't have a clear idea of your major yet, or you come from an area where there are lots of similar applicants, like I did from Los Angeles private schools. I think often deferring is just a way of, saying that we like you, but we just want to see what else we have in the, in the main pool of applicants. So I was terrified, but it ended up working out really, really well in the end.
Good. Yeah. Just a quick, actually, sidebar here, because this is the question that I'm sure a lot of people are wondering is, did you do anything in that time you were deferred? Did you write letters? Did you get in touch with the admissions office?
Well, I remember being very freaked out and talking to my guidance counselor about it at school, and not wanting to overwhelm them, but I think I did end up writing a letter in February, I guess, just kind of reaching out to the school and saying, this is what I've been doing in the meantime, once again, like reaffirming my interest in Yale as my top choice, and saying, I've been acting in these two plays, and these are the courses I'm taking, and just showing, sending over my first semester grades. And you can definitely do that. That's a great option if you're in that situation.
Cool. And I mean, yeah, it sounds like you gave them some valuable information, which that's always important. And did you email that letter, or did you send it, by snail mail?
This was a few years ago, so email was a little bit less of, the norm of communication. So I think I mailed it, actually.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good bet anyway, even in these sort of email days. It shows that, hey, you took the time. And you wrote this letter out and signed it, and I think that's probably the way to go. So yeah, in terms of where I applied and how many applications I had ready, I definitely was. I can totally relate to that neurotic sort of attitude. I had that moment of, I am never gonna go get into anywhere. And it's a scary idea, right? Because it's like, here's the rest of your life ahead of you. And you don't have any idea of what's going to happen. You can get rejected here, accepted here. Maybe you'll get rejected from everywhere. But I mean, I would say students who create strong applications, they never get rejected from everywhere. And you want to create your school list to make sure you have a good balance of reaches and safeties and things like that. So I had I had applied early action to Harvard, and then I had nine other apps ready by the time I got my decision on December 15th from early action from Harvard. So I had all the other applications written out, ready to go, ready to send, ready to submit. So I had Yale, Princeton, Brown, Williams, Amherst, Duke, Colgate, and my two safeties were Rutgers and College of New Jersey because I am from New Jersey. And then, but after I was accepted to Harvard, I only ended up sending in Yale and Princeton because I figured, you know, those were the only two ones that would be in contention if I got acceptance letters too, because I would go to Harvard over the other ones. So I ended up getting into Princeton, and then I got rejected from Yale. So,
Oh, well, we can't all have it all, Stephen.
yeah, I mean, I guess I just wasn't good enough, and you know, it's the biggest regret of my life that I didn't get in there. Just
Well, I understand that completely.
kidding.
It sounds like you had a great list there with a lot of balance.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, my sort of advice in selecting your schools would just be to sort of make sure that you know you don't go too over the top. I mean, I would say with you, it obviously worked in your favor because you're an incredibly hard worker, and you just I'm sure you nailed every application, which is great. But for a lot of people, doing something like that, I mean, it might spread yourself a little too thin because a lot of applications have supplements, have you know, other essays. And so, yeah, I mean, my sort of advice would be to shoot for 8 to 10. And, but if you can be like Cleo and you can really get out there and put your heart into all your applications, by all means, if you can do that, apply to as many schools as you can.
Like I said, I was very scared about having options, but then in the end, it really ends up hurting you, I'd say, if you go as overboard as I did, because then I had 17 options and I was trying to decide between all these schools in like 2 weeks, and it was kind of terrifying. So, I'd say to really trust your gut, and like Stephen said, only apply, especially if you know that you've already been accepted somewhere. Only apply to schools that you think could really compete with that offer for you, some that you might actually choose above it.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, look at you, 17 acceptances. That's got to be some kind of record, I would say.
It was stressful. And I remember sitting at the lunch tables with my best friend in high school, and I am often paralyzed by indecision. So she was trying to help me decide. And I remember it just got to the point where she was like shouting things at me, and I had to decide instantly. And she was like, coffee or tea? And I'd say coffee. And she'd say, Harvard or Yale? And I'd say, Yale. And that was really what did it for me. So.
That's really funny. Yeah. So, that's a good way to decide.
All right, well, we've covered a lot of ground today, addressing the two important topics of visiting colleges and selecting your schools.
Next time we'll go a bit deeper to answer the questions, when should I start filling out my applications? And once I've got some incredible offers, how do I decide where to go?
Looking forward to it. We want to thank all of you for joining us on this episode of the League of Extraordinary Applicants. We hope that our advice helps you get that much closer to achieving application success.
Please don't hesitate to email us with any questions, and we'll make sure to answer as many as we can in future episodes. Hit us up at podcast@admissionauto.com.
We're excited to hear from you. Questions, comments, feedback, whatever's on your mind. All right, Stephen, that's all for this week.
Join Cleo and me next time for another installment of The League of Extraordinary Applicants.